State versus HZB.
I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal, if I may. May it please the court, I'm Tamara Fundrella of the Island County Prosecutor's Office here on behalf of the appellant, the State of Washington. There's just one issue before the court today, whether a juvenile criminal respondent may seal their completed deferred disposition prior to their 18th birthday pursuant to statute. The state contends that a juvenile criminal respondent must wait until they are 18 in order to seal, and the state asks that the court remand for the application of the correct rule.
What do other counties do?
Your Honor, it's my understanding that we are the sole county that has been doing this. Previously,
in King County, do they seal once someone has satisfied the conditions and asked for sealing, or do they wait till after the 18th birthday?
Your Honor, with specifically with King County, I do not know the answer to that.
One of the things that had me scratching my head is that we didn't get any other county or the Prosecutor's Association weighing in on this, saying, you know, Island County's right, this is a problem. We have four cases here, they're all from Island County. Usually that suggests something's aberrational when we get the same issue four times from a small county and we don't see it anywhere else.
That's correct, Your Honor. To provide a little bit of backstory, it was our practice to immediately seal. However, we have since corrected that practice to what we believe is the appropriate.
What was the precipitating event to cause the correction in procedure?
That, Your Honor, I do not know.
So Island County Prosecutor's Office also apparently read the statute for some period of time to allow immediate sealing?
Yes, Your Honor.
And you can't tell us why they changed their reading of the statute?
That I do not know, Your Honor. It's my understanding.
You're not the architect of the change then?
No, Your Honor. And it's based on a newer reading that two statutes are in play. The Deferred Disposition Statute under 1340.127 and the Administrative Sealing Statute under 1350.260. I will own that there is a small point of overlap between the two and that they both discuss a sealing with prejudice.
Let me suggest to you an alternate view of those statutes, and you tell me what's wrong with it. One is that we have a general statute that allows for sealing when something is dismissed with prejudice. And in these deferred disposition cases, we have something to make sure that the juvenile doesn't lose the benefit of satisfying all of those conditions because nobody bothers to ask for a hearing to seal. So the legislature has told the courts it's kind of a belt and suspenders approach. You have to schedule a hearing within a certain number of days after the 18th birthday so this doesn't fall through the cracks.
Correct, Your Honor.
What's wrong with that reading of those two statutes?
I guess I may not follow the question. I believe that...
Well, you're trying to tell us that because the statute requires that this hearing be scheduled a certain number of days after the 18th birthday, that it would be inappropriate to seal the file earlier. And I'm suggesting that because we know courts sometimes overlook things and things fall through the cracks, the legislature has decided to provide a mechanism to be sure a hearing gets scheduled sometime, but specifically in the statute says this doesn't affect your rights under the other statute.
So I think that there are a couple of issues there. Subsection 10, which is what I believe we're talking about in requiring a sealing, and that's within the deferred disposition statute. The deferred disposition statute is very much a cradle-to-grave statute for all things deferred disposition, and it provides for a sealing schedule prior to the age of 18 and a course of action after the age of 18. So there's no need to leave the statute in order to go looking for another way to seal outside the statute, which I think...
Why would you put in a provision that says this doesn't prejudice your rights under another statute if this was all-inclusive?
Your Honor, I believe the provision you're talking about is subsection 10B. Nothing in this subsection shall preclude a juvenile from petitioning the court under the administrative sealing statute. And I think the word petition there is important. It requires a juvenile to do some kind of affirmative act to move the court. Whereas in the administrative sealing statute, 1350-260 subsection 2, which requires an immediate sealing upon acquittal or dismissal, that requires no duty on the part of the juvenile. So I think that we are talking about two different things there.
Another point you raise is the difficulty if there's a subsequent offense. Do you have any experience searching for sealed files and then getting them unsealed?
I am fortunate in that I have not yet had to go on a fishing expedition. I am the juvenile prosecutor.
One of the debates the judicial information system has had is maintaining a record of every file so that you could determine that there was a file and you would get a case number, and the case number would tell you the type, which would let you know there was a prior criminal offense and that you could make a motion to unseal. So it would seem at least that there's a mechanism in place to avoid the parade of horribles you describe in your brief, and I was wondering if you had any practical experience.
Your Honor, as the statutes do provide, the state is made aware of the existence of sealed files. That is very different than knowing what is contained within the file, and it essentially forces the state to go on a fishing expedition to frustrate the whole point of having those cases sealed.
How big a pond is it you have to fish in?
I certainly understand the court's position. But if this were to become the practice, it certainly would continue to come up, because a deferred disposition is a second chance. It's a great option for juveniles.
Aren't you undermining a very important social policy that the legislature is focusing on, and that is giving these youths who've done what the court asked them to do an opportunity to pursue life without a criminal record? I mean, imagine you're applying to Yale or Harvard for a scholarship, and you're 17 years old, and there's that criminal asterisk by your name. That's a real hindrance. Or you're applying for a job at Burger King, and so are 10 other people. That asterisk is going to be a real hindrance. Aren't you frustrating all of that?
I don't think so, Your Honor, and I think what the court may be getting at is looking at SJC, perchance, where the findings are fleshed out in that case very well about how difficult it is to find housing, to find a job when you have a criminal history. And I don't think that the way the state reads both statutes frustrates that. 1350-260 subsection 2 absolutely should be there for juveniles who are innocent. So in the instance of acquittal or a dismissal pretrial with prejudice, those juveniles have done nothing wrong. That should not continue to burden the juvenile.
That the legislature intends to treat juveniles who satisfy the conditions of the deferral, to treat them differently than people who were never convicted?
Well,
purposes of getting jobs, going to school, getting housing?
Your Honor, again, it's just temporary until they achieve the age of 18 and meet certain requirements.
If you miss your opportunity to go for a scholarship at a big school at that point, do you get that chance again?
Your Honor, I believe that individual could perhaps reapply after sealing, after they meet the appropriate requirements for sealing. But a juvenile that has...
You use your time up now unless you want to use it every 2 minutes.
Thank you.
You might think about that and come back up.
Good morning. Erica Rusher here on behalf of the respondent, HZB. I'm a Rule 9 intern with the Washington Appellate Project, and my supervising attorney, Gregory Link, sits at council table. The legislature intended and specifically directed that children such as HZB who complete their deferred dispositions may immediately have their records sealed so they do not face the barriers that an open record causes them with housing, education, and employment. The trial court was correct in its ruling. In fact, it had no discretion to rule differently under subsection 2 of the administrative sealing statute.
That's true. Why does subsection 10 B refer to a petition rather than it just being something automatically done by the court?
The deferred disposition statute requires you to petition to use the administrative sealing statute.
But why is that necessary if there's already a duty on the court to do this without any discretion to say yes or no?
The duty is only triggered once you petition to use the administrative sealing statute.
Really? It isn't just the dismissal with prejudice?
The dismissal with prejudice is the subsection 2 requires the immediate sealing with a dismissal with prejudice. The language of the...
And that gets us to my question. If there is an obligation by the court, non-discretionary obligation, to seal once the order dismissing with prejudice is entered, why is it necessary for the juvenile or even appropriate for the juvenile to have to petition the court to get that sealing?
I'm not sure why that language is present. However, there is language in the administrative sealing statute that shows that the they intend for the juvenile to be able to seal their record before the age of 18. And it also clears up any consequences, absurd consequences, that the statute might have for further deferred dispositions. If you would look to subsection 8 of the administrative sealing statute, there is a mechanism for the unsealing of records upon the adjudication of a new juvenile offense or crime. If the legislature did not intend you to be able to seal your record before the age of 18, they would not have needed to have it unsealed on the adjudication of a new juvenile offense, which you would not be able to have if you were over the age of 18. Further, subsection C, 8C of the administrative sealing statute requires the administrative offices of the court to make sealed records available to prosecutors. They would be aware if they were going to offer a new deferred disposition that there is already a sealed case and they can move to unseal the case. The legislature intended that juveniles be able to rehabilitate themselves. In juvenile court, we are not as concerned about the innocence. We are interested in rehabilitating as well those who are guilty. There are barriers to rehabilitation with housing, education, and employment that are tied to recidivism rates. That is something that SJC is very clear about. This child was 14. And she stole $7 from her grandmother's purse and took the family car without permission. She completed a 12-month deferred disposition, and her case was dismissed with prejudice. The state does not dispute the dismissal of her case with prejudice. Therefore, she should be able to use subsection 2 of the administrative sealing statute to immediately seal her record so that she is not hindered further by her record and she can continue to rehabilitate herself with housing, employment, and education opportunities.
I recognize you're probably not very experienced with other counties because you're still in law school, but do you happen to know about what the practices of any of the other counties are in this circumstance?
I am not aware of how other counties operate. I have many contacts in King County, and they have never heard of the statute being read this way. I would ask that you honor the legislative intent, uphold the lower court's ruling, and leave HZB's record sealed. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to briefly address something that counsel brought up, in that there is an easy method of unsealing previous cases. And I think it's important to note that a deferred disposition, while that individual is still under the supervision of the deferred disposition, is not actually a disposition. So there is a genuine question, at least in my mind, about whether that would satisfy a new conviction for the purpose of unsealing a previous case. And so to address Your Honor's...
My understanding is your concern is that once this first case is dismissed, if there's a second case, you want to be sure that somebody doesn't get to take advantage of a deferred disposition with respect to the second case, and that's why you want to be able to unseal the first case and say you already got their bite at the apple.
That is correct, Your Honor.
So how does that relate to what you just said?
So for a new felony information, that previous sealed case can be unsealed just based on a new information pre-trial. We would need a conviction for a new subsequent misdemeanor in order to unseal the previous case. So if it is, in fact, a second misdemeanor where a deferred disposition was granted, there's a question about whether that is a conviction for purposes of unsealing the previous case, in which case the damage may already have been done. That might be a second deferred. So I think we're getting into a little bit of SJC and the burdens that are on juveniles, and I think it's important to note that SJC also reasoned that the ultimate sealing of juvenile court records don't affect the functioning of juvenile court, whereas this would. That individual is still within the parameters of juvenile court, still under the age of 18. And we need to know about the history, what community-based services were offered to that particular juvenile in order to meet their needs, to meet the twin aims of the Juvenile Justice Act.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.